In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Luke, the 12th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's now the second Sunday in August, and the start of school is rapidly approaching. How will my own children do in their schooling this year? Will they work as hard as they did last year? Will they remember what they had learned last year? Will they have good attitudes? Will they work hard? What discipline problems will we run into while teaching them? Are my wife and I doing a good job of teaching our children the faith? When they grow up, will my children reject the faith like so many others? Will they walk away from the church that I love? Will each of them find a good Lutheran Church Missouri Synod spouse? Are my wife and I modeling for them a good, healthy marriage so that they know what it looks like? Am I spending enough time with my wife? Does she know I love her? Do I help out enough around the house? Is my wife satisfied with our marriage, as satisfied as I am? Am I working to make our marriage better? Will I get to celebrate 50, 60, 70 years worth of an anniversary with my wife, like so many of the saints of Holy Cross and Emmanuel do? Or will one of us die before that? What am I going to do if she dies before me? How long is my grandma going to be alive? Her health is not the greatest, and she's the only grandparent I have left. Have I been a good grandson? Have I been a good son? Have I called my mom and dad recently? Am I being helpful and supportive as a younger brother? Am I being a faithful pastor? Am I preaching the word of God purely and rightly? Will the congregation still like me if I speak a hard word? Will the couple resent me for saying they can't live together? Will that parishioner reject the faith if I tell them that they cannot continue in their pet sin? Will the people love the Lord and all his gifts that he has to give them? Can I get to all my shut-ins this month? What if I can't? Or what if I miss someone in the hospital? Or they think I don't care? Did I accidentally miss greeting or talking to someone as they entered the church this morning? And will they hate me and think of me as unfriendly if I did? Do I spend the same amount of time talking to everyone in the same way so that people rightly know that I love each and every one of them and have no favorites? Am I teaching what is right? Are they learning? Is it going over their heads? Or have they heard it all before? Am I too strict? Am I too loose? Am I splitting my time rightly between family and church? Am I using the gifts of God to the best of my ability? Will my paycheck be enough to cover the bills and the debts and the growth of my children? Can I give more to church? Will I ever be able to retire? Will we have enough to retire? Am I going to be able to retire in the church, or will I have to find another job due to the decrease in Christianity in America as a whole? Are we safe? As a family? As a church? As a country? These are my anxieties, my fears, my worries. You have your own. You don't have to look far to be afraid or worried or anxious about this life, do you? Just open your eyes. See that the body wears out, that roofs leak, that the basement floods, that pews are emptier and emptier, and terraces lurk in the shadows. Open your eyes and see that this life is difficult. See the prices of medication. See the cost of tuition. See the cool new pair of shoes, the latest technologies, the price of that ring, the price of that divorce. And then see your bank account, or your credit card bill, or your mortgage. And then hear the words of Jesus in today's gospel lesson. Do not be anxious about your life. Easier said than done. We do worry, and we are anxious about virtually everything. And whenever that sick feeling in your stomach comes, you try to get rid of it. Some of us deal with our worries by drowning them, others by running. And then there are others who work and work and work and hope that they get it all done. But we end up treasuring whatever takes our worries away. If we're worried about paying bills, then we treasure the paycheck. If we're worried about children's education, then we treasure school. If we're worried about our health, then we treasure the gym or our diet or the doctor's office. If we're worried about how we look, we treasure the latest fashion or style. If we worry about being cool and connected, we treasure Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, The Vine, Instagram, Google+, or the newest smartphone technology or social media venue. We treasure all these things because by them and through them, we think that we can control our fear. As long as we work a bit harder, study a bit harder, eat a bit healthier, our anxieties won't overwhelm us, we ration. As long as our eyes can see that these are all right, then we're fine. But when Jesus says, "Don't be anxious," he strips us of every treasure that can be seen and that can be controlled. He strips us of us. He leaves us bare. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was arrayed like one of these. Of how much more value are you than the birds? If our treasure is in what our eyes see, the things of this life, the money, the abilities, the stability, the success, the accolades, and the power, then that is where our heart, that is where our faith, that is where our hope, and our love lies and will be also. This is about to be one of the most anti-stewardship sermons you've ever heard. But where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, has nothing to do with your money. It's all just the opposite. When Jesus says, "Do not be anxious," again, "Fear not, little flock," he isn't speaking to condemn you, but to free you. Only Jesus can speak these words and actually create what they say. Why? Because these are words spoken to you through the cross. They're words covered in the blood of Jesus, soaked and drenched in his righteousness. These words are given to you as a gift. He really means don't be worried. Don't be anxious. Do not fear. Not because you've worked hard enough or because you've done things that don't matter, but rather your Father knows what you need. And because he has stretched out his hands and arms for you on the cross, because he has said, "It is finished." Every sin paid for. Every worry and fear destroyed. Every guilt, every doubt, every pain forgiven. Fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And he has. He does. And he'll keep giving it to you until he brings you home safely to himself. He tenderly speaks his word of forgiveness into your ears. "I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." He washes you with his forgiveness. He joins you to his life. "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." He feeds you with his own body and blood, his life, risen and resurrected from the dead. This is my body. This is my blood. Depart in my peace, knowing your sins are forgiven. I am with you always, and I will raise you up on the last day. And by this, he has freed you from every worry, every fear, every anxiety that this world can possibly throw at you. But he does all of this by his word. And that means we don't always see it, right? What we see will be the many fears and doubts all around us, the worries of this life. But what we hear is the truth, the promise of God that all is finished for you, that Christ, who conquered death, is with you, and he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you, that no matter what you face, what you are going through, what makes you anxious, no matter what, you are clothed with a robe of Christ's righteousness that covers all your sin. In him you are dressed and you are ready for action, adorned in your garment of salvation and engraved not with gold or silver, but with Christ's own precious blood on the palm of his hands. Today, he has prepared a feast for you. The feast is prepared. The master is on his way, and you are his bride, waiting in the chamber for the Son of Man to come and to call you home. Today, we live by faith, not by sight. Your treasure is Christ. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In Jesus' name, amen.